Hello, Treaders, and welcome back to another episode of Tread Lightly. I am super excited about today's topic, knee pain when running, because it is the thing that almost all of us have to deal with someone telling us about how our run is going to ruin our knees. So I think we're going to address a lot of great stuff here. For those of you who are new, I am Coach Amanda Brooks of Run to the Finish.
And I am Coach Laura of Laura Norris Running, and I'm excited for this episode too. We're going to delve into both some myths and some practical advice for different types of knee pain.
100%. So let's start with how we love to start every episode, which is answering one of your questions. So this one came in through Instagram from Joy Merrickson. And she said, I know you don't lose fitness immediately, but as someone who has gone from running 20 plus miles a week to less than 10 miles a week over the last 3 weeks, what approach would you recommend to get the mileage back up there? I've dealt with so many injuries in the past. I don't want to come back too hard, too fast. I'll let you kick this off.
Yeah. So it's that statement she has near the end about the fact that she's dealt with so many injuries in the past that informs how I would approach this scenario. 3 weeks isn't a super long time in terms of detraining, even for the musculoskeletal system, but for someone who has a history of injury, who may be more prone to injury for some reason or another, this is where I'd probably take like the same amount of time that you were at a lower mileage to build back. So 3 weeks at a low mileage, I would say gradually build back, maybe add like 3 miles per week over 3 weeks to go from 10 to 20, just to be cautious. And this is also a scenario where if you start to feel some aches, it's better to take a longer time to build back than push through the aches and end up injured. What would you say?
I think that's a great, like, really steady plan to know that, like, you can get back in a smart way as long as you're willing to take the time. I'm a big fan of also just, like, taking more walks. So if maybe the reason that you're down in mileage is you haven't had time or haven't had the energy or have had an injury, like, just getting out there and taking some walks and getting kind of back into a routine and feeling good about that is always really helpful.
Yeah. And I think the point you just hit on with walks is one more thing for this person to remember that just popped into my mind is intensity can be a big driver of injury risk, not necessarily volume. So like you said, walks are a great way to add back volume at a very low intensity. With the running miles, you might choose, if you want to be extra cautious, to do just easy runs at this time. If you're trying to get back mileage, it's not necessarily the time for high intensity workouts, again, especially if injury is a concern.
Absolutely. Okay, let's dive into this knee pain. So I know that both of us have shared many times over the years that there are a lot of studies really showing that like running is not destroying people's knees, but there was this very large review that came out in the Orthopedic Sports Medicine Journal in March of 2023 that I came across. And I thought it was pretty interesting because they looked at like 7,000 runners and about 7,000 non-runners. And the people were actually an average age in their 50s. And they found statistically significant information. So there was actually a higher knee replacement in non-runners, and there was no higher incidence of osteoarthritis in runners. So I thought that was just kind of fun because it is sort of the reminder that like we need to use our bodies to keep them feeling good. And a lot of the data says, hey, running helps to lubricate your joints, and that's part of why maybe your knees feel better. So that can feel a little contradictory because knee pain is the most common overuse injury for runners, but it isn't specifically just the running that's doing it.
Yeah. And I love this study because I mean, 7,000 runners is such a huge sample size in exercise physiology. Huge. Most studies don't even reach a tenth of that. And so that can really give the confidence that loading your body, loading your joints is good for them. The problem often is the keyword overuse. So running is good for your knees. Too much running or too hard of running or running through pain and worsening it is not good. And I feel like the general public, when people say, oh, running's bad for your knees, they just kind of misunderstand running versus overuse in training.
100%. So let's talk a little bit about why knee pain is one of the most reported injuries for runners. And I think some of it comes down to the fact that there's a lot of things happening around our knee that could cause the pain in the knee when the knee itself is not actually the problem.
Yes, yes. So when we think about the running gait and what different muscles are doing, how the knee is landing, yes, you'll often feel the pain in your knee, but that's because there are muscles further up that can be very easily weak on people, very prone to overuse, that stabilize the knee. The hip muscles and some of the smaller gluteal muscles are responsible for stabilization of the knee when the foot contacts the ground during your running stride. Weakness in the hip glute muscles results in instability. Upon ground contact, your knee might have some like turning in, or it might be too extended when you contact it down, things like that. In some cases, quad weakness, issues with hip mobility, rotation, hip flexors can all contribute to, or for some runners, the issue comes from the bottom up, where they have weak ankles or they have very limited mobility in their ankles and they're unable to go through a full range of dorsiflexion when landing. That leads to poor running form that contributes to hip pain. And then some runners, even if they don't have these issues, if they overstride, they contact the ground with extension in their knee, and that puts a lot of impact force on the knee that can cause pain, especially when done consistently for a long time, leading to overuse.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of dive into some of those a little bit more. So when we're saying that your weak hip muscles might be causing your knee pain, you have to kind of remember, we like to think of our body in isolation, like right now I'm doing a core movement, right now I'm working my calves, but it's all connected. So when you're having things like IT band pain, that can often show up as a really sharp pain on the outside of your knee. And so initially, if you don't know what it is, we just keep saying I have knee pain. But what's actually happening is your IT band, which runs from your knee all the way up to your hip, has gotten really tight, and it's actually starting to rub on your knee with every stride that you're taking. So that's kind of a good example to me of, okay, when your hips are weak, and then you think about these muscles running all the way down the side of your leg, so it's no longer allowing your knee to track forward, like you said, but instead when you take a step, your knee might kind of fall inward. And so every time that knee falls inward, think of all the extra pressure that's putting on all of those muscles that aren't expecting to be used in that way. We also see things like, I think it was the Annals of Translational Medicine, which gave some good examples of how thinking about even if your hip flexors or your quads are really tight, that could pull your kneecap upwards. And a lot of times, again, we tend to think stretching is the answer, but your hip flexor or your quad might be tight because they're weak. So weak muscles tend to get very tight because we overuse them. So just kind of going back to what we've talked about so many times about thinking about your strength training a little bit more, it might be one of the big pieces to keep you from having knee pain.
Yes, absolutely. Like to give an example, following off of that with IT band syndrome, the IT band itself can't be stretched. It has this really high tensile strength, so it can like pull on the knee, but you're not going to resolve it by stretching your IT band. Instead, you want to focus on what muscles are weak that could be possibly transferring force to the IT band because they're not doing their job, or you know, where are there underactive muscles causing other muscles to overload. So often it's things like a weak glute medius that is transferring load to the TFL muscle, and that's then pulling on the IT band, causing the knee pain. And when you see stuff like that, the resolution for a weak glute med isn't stretching, it's strengthening the glute med, the other glute muscles, all the hip stabilizers with exercises like rear foot elevated split squats, clamshells, glute bridges, single leg deadlifts, side planks, etc. Exercises that you see in a well-rounded strength and conditioning routine for runners.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's say that again. You cannot stretch your IT band. So if you have been out there foam rolling the heck out of your poor little IT band, stop. So most PTs will now tell you they would not recommend that. So stop rolling your IT band. You're not going to lengthen it. You need to work on the tight muscles around it. You can work on rolling those. But I always like to say, if your IT band hurts and you just take that foam roller to beat the heck out of it, to me, that's like having a bruise and just pushing on it. That's really probably not going to help the bruise to heal. So same idea with your foam roller in general. If you've got an injury, you don't just want to keep pressing and pressing on it. You want to work around it to see what's going to help it feel better.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Don't foam roll your IT band. It's not a muscle. It can't respond to foam rolling in the way that other things can. And even then, like, foam rolling is great, but it's not going to, it will be short-term relief, not complete pain resolution. And this is where often, and I think you do the same thing, I encourage runners to at least see a PT once. I know PTs are expensive. I know sometimes you have to go to your doctor to get into your PT, depending on what state you are in and the legislation in that state. But even one PT appointment can be really helpful. I've done things before where I've gone to the PT once and been like, I will stick to the exercises you give me. Just tell me what exactly is going wrong. They'll run an assessment and give you some exercises that you can do at home. You don't need to go in multiple times per week for some of these more minor knee pains.
Oh, I could not agree more. And one of the keys to that, I think, is to look for a sports PT, because they are more likely to give you like a full suite of exercises and say, like, I want you to start doing these. And then the anticipation from them is, you're an athlete, you are going to do these because they matter to you. And so I've done that many times over the years where I've really only needed to go in once and kind of quickly realized, like, okay, yeah, I swear 90% of the time they say it's your hips or your glutes. And I'm like, dang it, I thought I was doing everything. But they'll show me some different ways that I actually wasn't moving. And then I just start to incorporate those things. Okay, you mentioned this, so I think we have to talk more about it. But what impact, because everyone wants to look at their running form. So what impact does changing your running form really have on knee pain?
Yeah. And I think the big thing to caveat here is not everyone should change their running form, because sometimes you change your running form and you change one thing, but that thing's not happening in isolation. Something happens up the kinetic chain and causes injury somewhere else. But that said, one of the things that is controllable that can really contribute to knee pain, especially more of like a runner's knee manifestation, where it's on like the center, the top or bottom of the knee rather than the lateral aspect, is overstriding. Like I said earlier, overstriding is when your foot lands in front of your body rather than underneath your body when it strikes the ground during running. And if you really think about that, if you look at that, your knee is more extended when it then contacts the ground, which puts more impact on it, as if you keep your feet landing beneath you when you're running and you have a slight forward lean, you are more likely to land with some slight bend in your knee, and it can absorb that impact better. It's less strain on the knee, less strain on the quad. Now, that overstriding, though, is like a tricky issue, because it could be related to your hip strength. It could be related to your hip, like lateral hips, hip flexors, glute strength, or it could be related to ankle mobility. So this is something that you can work on fixing, but sometimes if it is really difficult and it is a problem, again, this is where seeing a PT can help.
Yes. And you'll notice that Laura did not say heel striking was the issue, because that is what often gets blamed, because yes, when you overstride, it's almost impossible to land on anything but your heel. So we tend to combine the two, but it's not. It's really where you're landing. So if one of the things you can do, if you're like, I don't know if I do that, a lot of times you can look at your race photos. Other times you could do like a slow-mo video of yourself running and see where your feet are landing. And if you realize that you're really overstriding, one of the things to change that is to actually do some drills, like marching in place. So you can put two pieces of tape on the ground about hip width apart, and work up to the point where you can do 100 marching in place with your feet landing consistently exactly on those pieces of tape. Once you're good at that, then you can start to kind of run in place. And again, the goal is like, you're teaching your brain. So I don't want you to have to think about these things while you're running. Instead, that's kind of the point of running drills, is we're just going to get your brain used to, oh, this is what I do. This is where I land. So like, that's a super easy one that you can just start adding in and kind of practicing, even watching yourself in the mirror and getting used to like how that should look and what it feels like can be really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. And again, to circle back to strength training will really help with that also, because sometimes people overstride because they don't have the core strength to maintain a forward lean while running. So they like kind of slouch, or they're lazy in their form on the core aspect, and then their legs more easily go behind them, or go in front of them rather than behind them. And I've had a lot of runners who like, I'll be like, okay, try leaning forward. And they'll be like, my core feels so fatigued doing that. You want to work on core strength while you're doing this. And again, like a lot of strength training exercises, even if they're not specifically core, will strengthen your core. Things like squats, deadlifts, a lot of those things we talk about that can pretty seamlessly integrate into a strength routine without being like lay on the ground and do 20 minutes of core specific work.
Yeah, I think another one that, you know, I can't go without saying it, but skipping the warm-up. So if you're starting with your muscles being really tight, you know, think about a really tight calf muscle. It pulls on the shins. So that could be shin splints. But just think, everything, like we said, is focusing on trying to stabilize your knee. But if it can't fully work, or you haven't sort of woken the joints up and kind of gotten everything from being less stiff, then it's very possible that things are just going to kind of ache and feel off, and your body's trying to loosen up because you didn't give it a chance to before you went right into this high intensity movement.
And one thing I tell some of my runners who do go to a PT and they get these exercises, or they even logic, they're like, okay, I should be doing my clamshells, leg lifts and stuff, is to put that as part of their warm up. That way they do it. Doing those movements also provides some neural cues to help with those muscles during the run. And then you're not going to skip your PT exercises if you do them as part of your pre-run warm-up, because so many people will go for their run and then be like, oh, I had a shower, I had to get on for work, I skipped all my PT stuff again.
100%. I think all of my athletes are sort of forced into this. I'm like, think of your warm-up as prehab. So I know that nobody wants to spend an extra 15 minutes in the morning before their run, but if that 15 minutes means you get to keep running, training isn't interrupted, you're doing the thing that brings you joy, like I will find a way to kind of carve out that 15 minutes, but it does help to tack it on to the habit I already have rather than trying to like create additional time later in the day. So that is always kind of a key tip, is like, how can I tack this on to something I'm already used to doing? And maybe it just starts out as 2 minutes. I think the longer you've been running, the longer your warm-up gets, because you've been to PT and now you have a list of things to keep you strong. But that's how I kind of think about it.
Now, the one other thing that can contribute to knee pain, but I feel like this is always one to address last after you've addressed strength and running form and seeing a PT, is running shoes. So have you ever noticed with your athletes that certain running shoes can provoke knee pain for some people, or what's your take on that?
Yeah, actually, one of the interesting things I found, particularly with IT band pain, was that when a lot of us transitioned away from what used to be the very standard like 12 millimeter down to 8 millimeter or even less for a lot of folks, a lot of that IT band issue went away. And I don't know if that's just, you know, how we were landing or what it was about the shoe, but I have actually seen that in quite a few athletes. I think the other thing I always want to touch on with shoes is that it's very easy to think, oh, well, I'll just get a stability shoe and that'll fix the fact that my knee is falling inward, because they will tell you things like that at the running store. And That's not entirely wrong, but if the issue is coming from your hip and you get a stability shoe, what you're doing is maybe masking the issue. So maybe you get a couple more months, but the problem is actually getting worse that entire time because you're not doing anything to address the cause. So yeah, shoes are kind of, like you said, one of the last things to sort of double check once we're like, man, you're doing everything else right. So let's just make sure it's not coming from there.
Yes. And I've seen the same thing with like the very high 10, 12 millimeter drop shoes, is that I do think it does something to your running form where you are more likely to overstride or strike with your like heel down in such a position where your knee's extended. As we're not saying to go switch automatically to ultras. That's not what we're saying. Don't make the huge jump to zero, but because that one can strain the Achilles. But for a lot of people, there's a sweet spot around like 8 millimeters where their knee isn't as strained in the way the shoe alters their running gait, because shoes can alter running gait and the high drop ones do.
100%. So if you're looking for a couple of exercises to kind of throw into that warm up, I am a huge fan of the mini band. And I always kind of think of these moves as like, these are your endurance focused moves. Whereas when we're doing the deadlifts and things, we're thinking about overall strength. So the mini band is working on teaching your muscles to really have that endurance to stay stable. So you can do things like looping it around both feet and then actually keeping legs straight, so not bending, doing walks, so 10 to the left and then 10 back to the right. That's a really easy one to start with. You can do also band also around the feet and then put your hands on a bench or against the wall and raise your knee to 90 degrees. So that's going to get into the hip flexor. So work a little on that hip flexor strength. You can also then move the band up to just above your knees, never at your knees, but above. And then think about keeping your knees hip width apart and squat. So that's a really good one for cueing, because if you start to notice your knees falling inward, that's probably what you're doing when you're lifting too. So this is kind of waking up the glutes, making sure you're in good form. Those are just like three really easy ones you could throw in. I'm a big fan of making sure you hit, you know, some of your core a little bit too. So get into a full plank and like alternate raising one leg and then the other. That actually activates your glute and your core at the same time.
Those are really good exercises. And for, you know, talking about like endurance building sets, how many sets and reps would you recommend someone start with those?
So ideally, we're probably going for like 2 sets of 10 reps to start, because I probably can't get you to do more, and that's fine. If you're willing to do 1 set before and then you promise you'll do like 1 or 2 sets later, that's also fine. Most folks are going to do whatever they do before the run and never come back to it. So I would say whatever you're going to do, kind of think about it then. And while your muscles will fatigue a little because maybe this is new and you haven't done something like that, it shouldn't be enough in any way to actually impact your run, because you aren't straining the muscle to do these. And I will throw one more in there. This is my absolute all-time go-to IT band, and it's the lunge matrix. So instead of just doing forward lunges, you also do a side lunge, you do kind of a diagonal lunge, you do a curtsy lunge. And so you're really hitting the hips from a bunch of different directions. And that has been a go-to for years that I've also seen really help a lot of folks.
Yes, I love that one in a warm-up. And like if someone has knee pain while doing it, I'll be like, okay, maybe we just do reverse and lateral lunges, because those are a little easier on the knee joints. But if you don't have any knee pain, 100% all those planes of motion, because they each work the muscles a little bit differently.
Yep. So I think the next question is usually, okay, so I've got some knee pain. Can I still run?
Yes. So this is where we kind of first want to understand the difference between pain and discomfort. And the easiest way to do that, you'll often see people recommend using a pain scale, as in, you know, 0 is the absence of pain, 10 is excruciating, can't even function pain. Ideally, knee pain should be a 3 or less, which means it's non-existent or mild. Now, that said, I know a lot of runners who have very poorly calibrated perceptions of pain. They're used to pushing through pain. So what we want to think about is this pain that you're like thinking about, or can you just kind of like forget it and it goes like you don't notice it? Usually a sharp pain, a very localized pain, or a pain that alters your gait means it's no go, stop running. I also go with, is it worsening while you run, or is it kind of there at the start, very mild, and then it goes away? If it's very mild, it's likely tightness, you're loosening up. If it stays persistent or worsens, it's probably an overuse injury. But in general, any sort of pain is a signal from your body that something is wrong and something needs to change. Like, you're not just having pain because your body feels like messing with you. It's trying to signal something to you.
Running is a crazy, crazy sport because you can have something that hurts one day and then it literally never hurts again. I don't know how many times I've had that happen. So I like that idea of rating your pain. And that's something I have people do when they're coming back from injury a lot too, is rate it on that 1 to 10 scale. And part of that is getting you out of your head, because when we're coming back from an injury, we're so focused on it not hurting or not coming back that we are tense and we're kind of like, I think it hurts. I think it hurts. And so if you start putting a number to it and okay, it's a 3, it's a 3. Okay, well, is it actually a 3 or am I just thinking about it? Or no, it definitely feels worse today. So I love using that number scale for a lot of reasons, but I think it helps get out of the emotional fear of, is there an injury or is this coming back, and just make it a little more like data focused so you can kind of get out of that. And then agree, if something hurts, you need to pay attention to it and dig into why. Don't just ignore it.
Yeah. And usually what I recommend to athletes is, if this is the first onset of the pain and it is distinctly pain and it's there, not going away, the first thing we want to do is take at least 3 days, maybe up to 7, off of running. You can cross train if the cross training doesn't produce pain. But the reason we want to have these 3 to 7 days off of loading, off of running, is because that's considered the like acute inflammation phase of an injury. And your body is going to be like sending all these immune system responses there. There might be actually more swelling during this time, but your body's trying to heal and we need to temporarily remove that load to let that healing start. And it also keeps you from pushing through the pain and causing something that might be a 2-week injury and causing it to go into a 2-month injury. And then after those 3 to 7 days, we kind of address it from there. But I found that that quickly responsive approach works very, very well for many athletes.
I love that. And I think it leads kind of to this next question or discussion, which is around using a knee brace. And I actually am totally fine with this. I think as long as you're addressing what the issue is, there are two things that happen here I see. And one is that you put on like a nice little compressive knee brace and it does provide some stability. It also mentally makes you think your knee is stronger and feels better. And I am all for any of those sorts of things. My goal is that an athlete doesn't have to use it forever. So we're trying to figure out the root cause again. And I know a lot of people have seen me talk a ton about using kinesiology tape in the last few years. That for me was something I really discovered before I had knee surgery and kind of shocked me in terms of how well it worked. But I also loved that it wasn't changing my motion so much, and it was a lot easier to wean yourself off of that tape than maybe it is for a brace, because you kind of start to feel dependent on it or nervous to work out without it.
Years ago, I was in physical therapy for my ankle. I had rolled it and dorked it up badly, and I had been wearing a brace for months and months before I addressed it and running in that brace. And what the physical therapist told me is that too long in a brace without addressing the root cause actually can cause the muscles that you want to get stronger to actually weaken, because the brace is doing the work that they need to be doing. So I think it is a lot of looking at how long are you using this brace? Are you using it short term for a few weeks while you're doing physical therapy? Or is it something that you've been relying on for months and months and months to hold you together and you're not doing any work to address the area of weakness?
Yes, so true. Okay, one last thing that I want to address in our knee pain discussion, and that's really osteoarthritis because it affects so many people. So if you kind of don't know exactly what that means, osteoarthritis is when that cartilage that's kind of the cushion between your bones deteriorates. So it could mean that your knees just feel really stiff, or sometimes they even swell a little bit. And I have heard a lot of folks say, oh, I have arthritis, so I can't run. And then there's the flip side of people who are like, I have arthritis, I still run. And I think what is important to kind of know is that doctors are saying it's absolutely not going to make your arthritis worse. And there are plenty of runners who actually find they feel better because running sort of forces your body to create that lubricant around joints. And so they found that their joints felt better. This is one where you really and truly have to work with your body and kind of figure out what does feel good for you. But I just don't want people to feel like they have to give it up, because I've seen a lot of folks continue to run and sort of find tools. It just may look a little different than it did before.
Yes, I agree with that. I have a few athletes who have osteoarthritis in their knee, and they're all still running. For some of them, it just means that maybe we only run 4 days a week. Maybe we do hard workouts a lot of times on the elliptical or the bike. Maybe we are a little extra cautious of having longer warm-ups, walking as a warm-up, etc. But I've never seen an athlete get an osteoarthritis diagnosis and that be a game over for their running.
Yep. So I love this discussion. Is there anything else you want to make sure we leave people with on this topic?
So the one thing I would add, and I kind of hinted at this earlier, is strength training is super important, but strength training should not make your knee pain worse. So this, again, is where working with a PT can really help. But if you have knee pain and you started strength training and you're like, oh, wow, I have so much more knee pain when I do squats or do lunges, don't just keep pushing through that knee pain. Again, that's your body's signal that something isn't right. Maybe it's an issue with your form, or maybe the tissue needs to first be loaded with less aggressive movements, different ranges of motion, different areas strengthened first. So we don't want pain while running, but we also don't want pain when trying to strengthen the knee. What would you add?
I think the big one I would add is that while even I myself have a bajillion articles on running injuries, I still recommend going to a PT, because it's really easy to misdiagnose yourself. So I don't know, 2 years ago, I had jumper's knee, which can feel very similar to runner's knee, but they need some different exercises and some different ways to recover. So, you know, unless you actually know what's happening or what the root cause is, you can start throwing in all these things and maybe they work, maybe they don't work. So again, I think we've both said it multiple times, but find a great PT. Don't be afraid to do that. Even if, you know, it's $150 and that really, really sucks, but that's way better than it just continuing to get worse and worse and worse and then needing a ton of time off or a bigger rehab.
Yes. 100%. And your running coach is not your PT. Like, we're not able to do things like test for Trendelenburg sign or, you know, all these sort of like special tests that your PT is trained to do. A running coach is not a PT. This episode is not a substitute for PT. If you have pain, like Amanda said, just go see a PT. That's our disclaimer.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of Tread Lightly. As always, you can find us on Instagram at Tread Lightly Running. Drop us any questions that you might have, and we'll see if we can throw it at the beginning of another episode.
Yes. And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. Thank you for listening.